Welcome in, Lineup Logic fans. It's week 14 in the NFL. This is the Fantasy Fade Route with your host, Quaffo Adakwa, a.k.a. Spartanzilla. Joining me, as always, the gang is still here. We have Mike Alexander, a.k.a. Roto underscore Juan. What's up, Mike? How are you today?
I'm good, Quaffo. How you doing up there?
Very good. Just cold and still. Don't even get depressed about Lions games anymore. We just... You just move on about your business.
Weather in the storm.
Yeah, you go holiday shopping, you do other things. And then also joining us, our usual suspect, Jason Moschel, a.k.a. Jay Moschel. What's up, Jason? How are you?
What's going on? Enjoying these 40s here in Florida.
That's like bitterly cold. You get the snow trucks out for that?
Not yet.
Yeah, pretty soon. I mean, you get 40 degrees. That's balmy up here at this time of year, so... In the great state of Michigan. So, as always, guys, we're going to walk you through the big full slate. All bye weeks are done for week 14. But I'd be remiss if I don't start, as always, patreon.com/lineuplogic. Joining this community is a very, very great thing for you to be doing if you're going to play DFS at all in any sport, you name it, across the spectrum. It's covered with people and people that are basically just regular guys that enjoy watching sports, following sports. There's some tools and helpful hints to kind of make you a better DFS player. $10 a month gets you access to the Slack chat, gets you access to all the tools for all the sports, cheat sheets that come out on a daily basis for the sports. It's a great thing, and it's great to be a part of the community. So I implore you, like I do always on all these podcasts, $10 a month, Lineup Logic, sign up. Be a part of the family. Do what all the cool kids are doing. So, with that, Mike, as we always do when we start the pod, let's walk back a week. Week 13. Do you have any takeaways from week 13 for us?
Yeah, what I found interesting about last week was that there were so many pop-up running backs, and everybody got really cute. You know, there was Spencer Ware, Austin Eckler. You know, there was just all these guys that people are like, oh, I got pay downs, you know, I can do whatever else I want. And it turned out just going with the tried and true Todd Gurley, Christian McCaffrey were the ways to go, with the exception of Philip Lindsay, which I did play a lot of Philip Lindsay and probably had my best week of the season. So I'm all smiles coming into week 14.
Smart man playing Philip Lindsay, smart man. Jason, what about you with week 13? What's your biggest takeaway?
It's kind of along that same lines. Like, it's you know, I'm guilty of getting a little too cute, especially on Sunday morning after, you know, I've done all my work on up till Saturday night, and then the smart thing is usually for me to just leave it alone unless something crazy comes out, like Melvin Gordon gets late scratch or something like that. But yeah, I mean, just sticking with the tried and true guys, especially running back up at the top.
Jason, you mean to say you weren't on Chase Edmonds and Justin Wilson Jr.?
Oh, God. Chase Edmonds trolling me so bad. Yeah. But
The two touchdowns.
What is going on out there?
Yeah, Edmonds would have been there for the true sharp, right? Those guys want to see those lineups with Chase Edmonds, so... Anyway, let's see. For me, week 13, I guess two things. Number one, Josh Allen is gonna be something. I don't know what, but he's gonna be something. So like he, you know, can get it done with his legs, and he's an interesting player. When we get to that game, I'll talk a little bit about Josh Allen for me. And then as we talk about in the fantasy fade route, fading coaches. One coach faded off into the distance, and that's in Green Bay with Mike McCarthy. It's about time.
Aaron Rodgers lose to the Cardinals at home. That's
a fireable offense. He might have to be kicked out of the state of Wisconsin off of that one.
It's really uncharacteristic for the Packers. Mm-hmm. They don't like to make in-season moves, but that that really forced their hand.
Yeah, and I don't blame him. I mean, the record player was done. The dance was over. I mean, he... Rodgers looked lackluster, and you knew it was going to be a parting of the ways at some point in the season. So we'll see what happens. And that division, obviously, I follow the NFC North a lot, is not getting any easier in the coming years with what Chicago and Minnesota are doing. So I know as a Lions guy, and maybe some more bleak years ahead, because that division is really tough. So Green Bay, it will be very important to make this hire the right one coming this offseason. So, all right, with that, let's go game by game. We will start with the game that will not take us long to analyze. It's Jacksonville at Tennessee, Thursday night goodness. The over-under is 37.5. The Titans are 4-point favorites. Again, we don't like to say fade the whole game, but for those playing Showdown, Mike, I'm sure you can find any assortment of players to fade in this one.
Yeah, I mean, why don't I yield the floor to you guys? Because I got plenty to pick from. So you go ahead, give your whatever you can lock down and a sleeper, and then
all right.
I'll clean up with a fade.
All right, Jason, hit us with a lock.
There's only one lockable player on this, and that's who I've got as my MVP for my Showdown slate, and it's Fournette. He's got an extra week of rest, so he should be pretty fresh for this, and that's the game plan Jacksonville wants to go with.
No doubt. Would you want to pass the ball with Cody Kessler? I mean, realistically, I mean, it's better than the Bortles and James, but boy, oh boy. Yeah, anyway, good luck there. For me, a sleeper, if I don't fall asleep before the game is over, is Jonnu Smith. I mean, at some point, right, he's got to do something. I mean, obviously he's extremely dependent on competent quarterback play, but I got to believe this is a matchup that shapes up a little bit well for him, even though Jacksonville coming off a pretty good defensive performance against Indy. Like, I got to go with Jonnu Smith as a sleeper. I don't love the play. I don't love the game, but all right.
Ebron was still good last week. I mean, he didn't get the touchdowns. But
right. But he had, I think, 11 catches, like something
third,
like that.
Third scoring tight end on the slate.
Yeah. That's, yeah. I mean, with the, they have elite cornerbacks in Jacksonville, and that's kind of how you attack them. So,
as the middle, like that. The soft middle, yep. All right, going to go with a fade here.
Yeah, and along those lines, Corey Davis is the fade here. You know, you got the target volume, but he's shown time in and time out over the past two seasons. That doesn't necessarily guarantee success for him. Really tough matchup. I can see him posting a really pedestrian line.
Yeah, definitely could see that. He's a talented guy, but I wonder if Tennessee's going to be the right place for him, right? Like, if he gets this figured out somewhere else. Or maybe it's just a matter of getting a good quarterback. So.
Or just Mariota being healthy. I mean, he hasn't been healthy in the last 2 years, really. So.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, we spent way too much time on that game. Let's get into some fun Sunday action. Baltimore traveling to KC to take on the Chiefs. The over-under is 53. Those fighting Chiefs are 9-point favorites. What about a lock here, Jason? Who are you locking in this matchup?
Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us why, real quick.
Well, just like at the price difference, like Lamar Jackson, they're designing all these runs for him. And he's not a super efficient passer. I mean, KC's defense hasn't been able to stop the run really at all. They haven't really been able to stop a whole lot. You saw that with Oakland this week. I mean, Oakland, the game wasn't as close as the box score said it was, but, you know, they put up points. And, I mean, Lamar Jackson is basically that whole offense. Like, I could see him having another, like, 130, 140-yard rushing day.
If they can give us an indication that Flacco's not going to get mixed in. That's my only concern there, is because if they fall behind and Flacco is able to play, I could easily see Lamar getting benched, and, you know, they're going to put Joe in there because he's got the big arm and can throw, etc.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right, so along those lines, who are you fading in this one, Mike?
I would fade the Ravens passing game. You know, John Brown has been non-existent since Lamar Jackson took over the reins. You might think this has got shootout potential, but I just can't confidently pick any of the receivers there.
Yeah, it's been a slow decline over the season for Baltimore passing game. For me, a sleeper in this one, talked about him last week, Chris Conley again. you know, will it's bearing on the health of Sammy Watkins. And obviously we all know what happened with Hunt in the backfield. So the offense, I think, is going to move a little bit more passing heavy than it even has been. So I like Conley if he goes as a, you know, a secondary or tertiary option at the wideout spot. So that's where I'm going sleeper-wise. Anything else in this game, guys?
I think it's a good week to go back to Kelsey again. The Ravens aren't great against tight ends, and they do have a solid secondary. So
yeah, he was my lock. Yeah, Kelsey was my lock in this one. So I definitely co-sign that play. So all right, let's move along to Houston and the red hot Houston Texans hosting the Indianapolis Colts. The over-under is 49. Houston 4.5-point favorites at the current line I've got. Mike, will be a good game. Who do you think we should be fading in this one?
You know, I'm not on the same page here with Vegas at 48. That's a lot of points.
They got him at 40. I had him at 49. So 49. Yeah.
It's a divisional game here. These AFC South games tend to be ugly, and you know, both of these offenses are playing better at the moment, but we just watched the Colts lose 0-6. And, you know, I know the Texans are getting it done, but every week I'm waiting for them to trip over themselves. Their defense is really what's kind of, you know, paving the way. So I don't have quite the expectations I guess Vegas does in this one. But as far as a fade goes, I'm going to fade probably T.Y. Hilton here.
Okay.
You know, he kind of disappeared last week against a solid defense, and that could easily happen on the road here again in Houston with another solid defense that's really playing well and it's come on strong as the season's gone on.
Gotcha. Jason, a lock in this matchup.
I'm going to go right back to Eric Ebron. Houston's exploitable to the tight end, basically allowing a touchdown every week for the last 4 or 5 weeks now. It's definitely the weakest spot on their defensive scheming. Even without a touchdown, Ebron was still, top three tight end last week. I think he's going to get it done again.
And it wouldn't be the fantasy fade route if we didn't talk about Eric Ebron. Let's just keep the streak going the rest of the season with that guy. But he has played well. I mean, there's no getting around it. All jokes aside, he's played well. So I definitely don't mind that as a lock as well. My sleeper in this one, and it is kind of a deep sleeper, it's Jordan Thomas on Houston, the tight end spot. Had some injuries at the position. You know what you're getting with Hopkins. You think you know what you're getting with Thomas. Kiki QT, you know, is questionable heading into the game. So I like, you know, Thomas to maybe, you know, get a couple catches, get a couple balls. Most production, I think, on both sides of the ball is pretty much well-defined. So it's kind of digging in the bargain basement bin for a sleeper here. So Jordan Thomas is the way I'm going as a sleeper in that one. Anything else with this AFC South matchup? All right, hearing nothing, let's move to the shores of Lake Erie. Those Cleveland Browns taking on the Carolina Panthers in Cleveland. Over-under, 47. Carolina, the 1.5-point road favorite. Mike, Carolina's looked really pathetic in recent weeks. And Cleveland, you know, didn't look that great as well last week. Who are you fading in this matchup?
Yeah, I mean, the Panthers really need to bounce back here, and the Browns, you know, coming back home, they should play a little better. Carolina, it's like all season, it's felt like Carolina has been in these kind of shootout games. You know, they have a reputation as a good defense, but not this season.
No, I'm not buying their defense at all this year. It's actually pretty bad. I mean, they were in a game with Detroit. I mean, it's just, yeah. It's not it's historical.
Like they keep either winning like 33-30 or losing 30-27.
Yeah.
you know, I think that's probably what's going to happen here. So, you know, Fade's an interesting thing to try to do here because, like, both of these teams, you don't really know outside of the quarterbacks what's happening. And I guess the two running backs, you know, the passing games are kind of all over the place. If I'm going to fade someone, though, I think I'm going to fade DJ Moore on the Panthers. He has been coming on strong, but Funchess could be back. You know, Christian McCaffrey is always a threat to siphon receiving work. And the Browns secondary has been better, especially their first round pick Ward. So I don't think DJ Moore is going to quite live up to what he's been doing the last couple weeks.
Yeah, he let me down last week in a spot where I thought he was set to blow up. So I could see that being a fade. Jason, who are you going to lock? I think I have an idea, but who are you going to lock in this game?
It's Christian McCaffrey. He's going to be one of those running backs that, you know, you pretty much, you're going to put in a good percentage of your lineups every week. The use is just out of this world. There's not really much to say about him.
Yep, set it and forget it with that guy. Set it and forget it. Put him in your lineup and sleep easy on that deal.
Yeah, I mean, especially with Melvin Gordon out, then you're down to, like, really, like, CMC, Gurley, maybe Philip Lindsay is in there.
Connor's out.
Yeah,
Connor's out. So
yeah, and Gurley's not even on the main slate.
I'll probably get way too cute with, like, way too much Justin Jackson and Jalen Samuels and.
Don't do it, Scotty. Don't do it. Yeah. So for me, a sleeper coming off the 4-interception game, I'm gonna go with Baker Mayfield. I wasn't a fan to start the season. But I have slowly come along on the Baker Mayfield train. I don't think a lot of people are going to use him. Mike, to your point about Carolina's defense, doesn't scare me at all. We're, you know, 13 weeks in. That does not scare me at all. He's at home. I think he's played pretty well given, you know, his rookie status. So I like Baker Mayfield as a sleeper in this one. So let's move on to the Green Bay Atlanta game. Green Bay is hosting the Falcons. The over under is 49. Green Bay, oddly enough, 5.5-point favorites with Joe Philbin taking the reins as head coach in Wisconsin. Jason, find us a lock in this one if you could.
A lock in the Falcons and Green Bay game.
Yeah.
Whenever I see Green Bay and Atlanta, I just want to lock in Adams and Julio. Mm-hmm. But Adams, if you just go back and look at Adams' like scores over the whole season, he is like the most consistent wide receiver one. Like more consistent than Antonio Brown, more consistent than Julio Jones, more consistent than DeAndre Hopkins. He doesn't necessarily have the super, super, super high ceiling that you can get out of those guys, like the 40-point games. But he might get you 30, 35, which is fine by me if he's never going to put down less than like 15 to 20. So it's got to be Davante Adams.
Gotcha. Mike, who are you fading in this one?
I'm going to fade Matt Ryan here. There is a chance that the Packers go up and that they got to try and come back, but just being on the road out of the dome there is always a tough spot for the Falcons. Their season's kind of getting closer to being at an end here. So I don't really love the prospects for Matt Ryan himself. Maybe some of the Falcons receivers, you know, Julio tends to do Julio things every week, but you know, Matt Ryan in that cold and a tough place to come into play could throw some INTs
with a bit of a motivated Aaron Rodgers on the other side, going up against him. So for me, the sleeper in this matchup, MVS, Marquez Vanda Scantling, Adams, I think you did a good job, Jason, walking us through his play and whatnot. I think that that MVS is very much in play here as a secondary option for Aaron Rodgers in the passing game. So there's a lot of other ways you could go in this matchup. So I think Rodgers is set for the bounce back. I think he's going to want to show that, you know, he wasn't the reason the team has been so awful this year. So
give me MVS. I think he was done with McCarthy too. So
yeah,
extra incentive to come out and play well.
I definitely see that. So along those lines, if I got to take passing game element other than Adams, I don't necessarily want Cobb. So give me MVS. All right, let's move on.
And don't sleep on Aaron Jones. It's gonna be really interesting to see how you know they handle that workload going forward, because I feel like that the running back split was a big reason for McCarthy getting fired. It was pretty even, and you know Jones has just been insanely more productive. So if they come out and give Jones like 65-70% of the work, it'll be pretty telling.
Exactly. Yeah, I had a lot of Aaron Jones last week, and it was really upsetting to see that they. I mean, Aaron Jones had been getting like, you know, like 90% of the work the last couple weeks, and then just like all of a sudden it's like back to an exact 50-50 split. And I was like, what?
Exactly. What? I mean, he's clearly the most talented runner they have. So that's how you get fired. That's how you get fired. So, all right, let's move on to your state, Jason. The Tampa Bay Bucks are hosting the New Orleans Saints. The over-under is 55.5. The Saints, coming off that Cowboys loss, are 8-point favorites against the Bucks. For me, I'm going to pick a sleeper in this one. Scored last week, and I'm going to go with Kirkwood as a receiver for the good old Saints. You know, we've talked about Tre'Quan Smith on this podcast. You already know where the production is for the rest of the Saints offense. So I'm looking for a guy maybe under-owned, probably definitely under-owned, with a full slate of action. And he's a guy who's, you know, again, he produced in the last matchup. He produced in that random Thanksgiving night game where the four undrafted guys all scored. So he was in that mix as well. So give me Kirkwood as a receiver, as a sleeper in this matchup. Jason, who are you locking from this NFC South matchup?
I'll probably just go right back to Kamara. I know I liked Kamara last week, and the whole Saints offense dudded incredibly. But yeah, if Winston's going to go out there and throw for whatever 350 yards and four touchdowns and four picks, like. Of course, he's only thrown like one pick since he came back from his last unbenching. But they're at home. They're going to put up points. So I like Kamara kind of more in the comeback mode, just taking a lot of dump offs.
Yeah, I could see a game script favoring Alvin and not the Chipmunks.
He's definitely deep this week too. So. Yeah.
Yep, I like it. Mike, who are you fading in this NFC battle?
I'm going to fade Peyton Barber. That's not a hard fade, but he's provided some points through touchdowns in recent weeks, and that's not something I want to chase to begin with, and the Saints tend to be pretty stingy to running backs.
I can see that.
Fade part two, depending on how they, you know, they deploy their wide receivers, if D-Jax is out or not, you know, whoever's drawing Marshawn Lattimore is probably going to be a bit of a fade, and that could be Chris Godwin if D-Jax is out.
Yeah, getting a two for fade in the NFC South.
You don't think they put Lattimore on Evans?
I don't know. I don't know if they're going to the shadow. They don't do that too much.
Yeah.
That was my thought, is that maybe Lattimore sees Evans myself, but yeah, if they're going to run shadow coverage, if I could talk today, then Evans is a little bit more viable. But I think the Saints are going to be angry against the Bucks in this one, so a lot to prove and still try to keep pace with the Rams. So, all right, let's move on to this podcast's favorite team, the Buffalo Bills. And they are hosting the New York Jets in the battle for the Empire State. The over-under is 38.5. Those fighting Bills are 3.5 point favorites. Mike, we're gonna be better this week. We're not gonna be so hard on the great Buffalo Bills. They had a representative effort last week, but we gotta fade someone. So let's fade. Let's find a fade from this matchup.
I'm actually gonna fade somebody on the Jets side, and that's Sam Darnold, coming off the injury, probably a little bit out of sync. Was throwing a ton of picks before, he missed some time. I imagine that continues on the road here against a pretty stingy Bills defense. They may not need to force the ball through the air quite as much, given that Buffalo may not score a ton of points. But hey, Josh Allen, I'll let you guys expand on him a little bit, but he may score some touchdowns on his own.
Exactly. So along those lines, who's your lock in this one, Jason?
Yeah, it's just going to be Josh Allen, just because there's like absolutely no fantasy goodness on either side of either one of these teams. Maybe defense. Maybe this is going to be another one of those fantastic Bills defense games where it's funny because at the beginning of the year, you just streamed every defense against the Bills. And now it's like, well, the Bills are okay. And they're just playing all the crappy East teams. Yeah. So,
yeah, I like him. I mean, he's maybe my least favorite of the rookie quarterbacks, but like he's still getting some stuff done. So
yeah, the only thing like his, like all his running, I mean, he's got like what 230 something yards in the last 2 weeks, basically, and it's like not design runs or anything. It's just like scrambling and taking off, which is usually a good way for quarterbacks to get hurt. So
it's very Michael Vick esque.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, my sleeper in this one, because you got to find one. This goes Zay Jones. Had a good game last week. Favorite target is Josh Allen right now. People aren't going to chase Buffalo. So you can get away with playing Zay Jones in your lineups. And I think, there's a lot of dreck in the NFL, even at the receiver position. So, you do worse than Zay Jones, and you got to find a sleeper. So let's go with him.
Hey, they cut Kelvin Benjamin.
What's his shit? Benjamin, God, you talk about a guy that just not living up to potential, or maybe he's just not that good a player.
No effort, just no effort.
Yeah. I mean, it was a problem in Carolina, and just followed him along. Just so he's probably
thinks he can be good at football. That does not happen.
No, I mean, you got to put a little bit of work into this. So, all right, let's move on to Jason's favorite squad in the whole NFL, the New England Patriots, traveling to Miami to take on the Dolphins. The over-under is 47. The Patriots are 10-point favorites. Jason, who do you have as a lock in this matchup?
Sony Michel. I just think he's going to get more work as they get playoff ready. I see this game kind of going down the same as the Pats last game, where there's not really a whole lot of like production, but they still win pretty easily. So,
well, so for me, I've got him written down as my lock as well, Sony Michel. I don't know what the weather's gonna be in Miami, but I bet it's better than what it is in Foxborough this time of year.
Yeah, it'll probably be like 70s.
Yeah, and so for me, I see this as a game where the Patriots say, all right, well, this is our division again. We like beating up on the Dolphins, and I've got Tom Brady. Never think you think of Tom Brady as a sleeper, but I'm going to have him down as a sleeper in this one because he's coming off, the so-so matchup. He has not had the sort of robust season he typically has. You may go a lot of different ways. Obviously, Mahomes is on the slate, Watson's on the slate, Aaron Rodgers on the slate, but don't forget about Tom Terrific, number 12. TB12, I like him as a sleeper, kind of off the radar a little bit play at the quarterback spot. Mike, who are you fading in this AFC East matchup?
Yeah, I'm going to fade Ryan Tannehill. The Dolphins just don't have any output to have a productive quarterback. If he could get a little bit done with his legs, but he's got the knee issue and coming off of an injury, so There's just nothing there to like about Tannehill for me.
Gotcha. Yep. I think it's, Vegas pretty much got this thing pegged, is where I see it with those two teams. We'll move on to the NFC East and the Washington Redskins hosting the New York Giants. Over under is 41. Washington, 1-point favorite. Mike, give us a fade in this NFC East clash.
Ooh, this is a tough one. You got the Sanchino, Mark Sanchez, probably starting at quarterback, unless they signed Josh Jackson, I believe, today.
Yep, today. He had to sign him today.
So, I mean, like, Sanchez is 2 weeks off the street. Jackson, is going to be fresh off the street. Like, does that make them even? I don't know. but you'd have to lean towards Sanchez. Either way, like, it's... For that whole passing game, it's trouble. But I'm actually going to fade on the other side. Eli Manning, he's facing a pretty good defense in Washington here, especially against opposing passing attacks in Washington. And, not that you were itching to play Eli, but you could get a little bit carried away. And it's not a good week, I think, for Eli.
I can see that, definitely, for sure, on both fronts. Washington QB, whoever that is, and Eli. What about a lock here, Jason? Where are we going?
It's Saquon. I mean, just one of those stud guys that gets all the usage. Something interesting that I found on when I was going over my stats preparing for the show today, when I was looking at my red zone usage and... Eli Manning is actually fifth in red zone pass attempts in the league, which is ridiculous. So it's Andrew Luck, Drew Brees, Jared Goff, Pat Mahomes, then Eli Manning, then Ben, Brady, Stafford, Watson. But Eli has 15 total touchdowns on the year. 14 of them have come in the red zone.
Eli, yeah, that's a very telling stat. That's some pretty good digging out of you there, Jason. It's pretty telling with him. And just going back to your lock with Saquon there, like it is a bit sacrilegious for a guy that grew up watching number 20 in Detroit run the football. But after almost a full season, there's some glimpses there in Saquon of young Barry Sanders in terms of what he does. The leap he had in that game where he basically, from a standing position, he leaped over the defender trying to make the tackle. That's nuts. That's crazy athleticism and crazy production. And if only he had a quarterback, the Giants would probably be winning the division. So, but for me, a sleeper comes from the Giants side of the ball, and it's Sterling Shepard. Maybe... I'm just working on the hope that maybe Odell goes back there in Wildcat and throws Shepard a ball like he threw last week again. He's the production in Saquon, the production in Odell. Shepard is kind of the lost man, him and Evan Engram. In a game that I think, Washington's defense is okay, but can be had, especially, with Josh Norman, who will probably cover Odell, but... I think Shepard is you can do a lot worse than him as a sleeper from this game with the Giants and the Skins. So, anything else in this matchup, gentlemen?
Watch Mark Sanchez hand the ball off.
Oh, it was that Monday night game turned real quick. It was really just not so great. So, but we'll move on to a really, really hot team. The L.A. Chargers hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. I've got the over-under at 48 even. Chargers, 2 touchdowns favorites at home. Mike, who are you fading in this matchup?
I'm going to go out a little bit on a limb here, and I'm going to fade Tyler Boyd. The Chargers have gotten better on defense recently, and Desmond King out of the slot has been really good. Boyd tends to do most of his work out of the slot. We're going to have to see how things shake out, given A.J. Green's season-ending injury. There's not a lot else there for them. They got John Ross and probably Alex Erickson on the outside. But Boyd may see some snaps out there, but then Casey Hayward's out there as well. So just this whole offense, this whole team, the whole Bengals team is trending down. And Boyd could have a decent floor, 10 to 12 point floor, but I don't see the upside for him.
I had him down as a fade as well. And I go back to something Jason talked about really early in the podcast, when we were taping in weeks 2 and 3, talking about those secondary receivers and getting almost that, wide receiver 1 production. Without A.J. Green to have people roll coverages to and whatnot, Tyler Boyd for me is definitely a fade. He's a talented receiver, but he has not ascended to that number 1 status. And, with Jeff Driscoll throwing him the ball, it's definitely, I definitely see that as a solid, solid fade. What about you, Jason, and a lock in this matchup?
If Melvin Gordon plays, I hope they hold him out. I don't think they need him for this game. I think it would be stupid of the Chargers to let him play, but they let him play in a game they didn't need him when he got injured, and then they ran him on a stupid play that got him even more injured. So if Melvin Gordon plays, it's all the Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon does not play, Austin Eckler got the run in the first half. Justin Jackson got the run in the second half. The Chargers had no run game in the first half of that game, and they had all the run game in the second half of that game. And I think they'll run with the hot hand and run with Justin Jackson.
He looked really good as a runner. He looked really good.
If I use Player Profiler a lot to look at the, to look at each individual player, and they have size adjusted speed and athleticism. And so Austin Eckler is he's the fast guy. So he's got the high speed score and the quick 40 time. And then Justin Jackson is the agile bursty guy, which is the type of running back that I prefer on my fantasy squads. I just think that they tend to be more efficient. And we saw that bear out on
Sunday night. Yeah.
Sunday.
Yeah.
So I really think if Gordon's out that they'll go with the hot hand, and that's probably who I'll lock in on this game.
Yeah, he's super talented. I really like what I saw out of him going up against Pittsburgh on Sunday night. For me, a sleeper, I get in these ruts with players, and I need to be better about that. We all, need to be continually improving our process, especially in this DFS journey. But I like Mike Williams in this matchup. I don't know why. There's a bit of a, the Williams brothers. You got Tyrell and you got Mike there. And Keenan Allen soaks up a lot of usage as well. But I feel like this is a Mike Williams game for me. I know he's the red zone target. I think he gets a couple early looks, gets a red zone target or two, finds the end zone at least once on Sunday, and pays off his $6K salary on FanDuel. So I like Mike Williams to get off the snide a little bit in this matchup.
Yes, especially if he can get some snaps in the slot against Darqueze Dennard.
Hey, wait a minute. That was a dirty shot you just took at me, because Darquez is one of my guys, a former Spartan. that was a veiled shot at me. He's okay. I mean, it's not his fault the Bengals are bad.
He's not a slot corner. He's stiff. No, he's not. Tall.
He's a boundary corner, yeah. So, all right. That was a dirty shot, Mike. Thought I wasn't paying attention. All right. We'll move on.
I bet on the Spartans
to
take down Iowa, so yeah. I'm happy with that.
That was a wise choice. All right, we'll move on to the City by the Bay. The 49ers are hosting the Denver Broncos. The over-under is 45. Denver is a 5.5-point road favorite. Jason, who is your lock in this matchup? I bet I know where it is.
Yeah, it's going to be Philip Lindsay. He's just right. Man, I forgot who said it, but I was listening to somebody earlier today or yesterday. But Philip Lindsay is actually averaging more yards per attempt, per rushing attempt, than Case Keenum is per passing attempt. which is ridiculous. But on the other side too, Jeff Wilson and a Kyle Shanahan offense, like they're gonna feed the running back. And he looked pretty good last week too. So that's an option, Jeff Wilson. But yeah, I really like Philip Lindsay again.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on Lindsay. Yeah. He's rendered Royce Freeman basically.
Yeah, those other guys. And that's what we were talking about at the beginning of the season. Like, it was kind of like a three-headed monster.
Right.
And it's like, well, all they have to do is get Devontae Booker out. And then it's like, well, Philip Lindsay is doing really good. All they have to do is kind of get Royce Freeman out, and they pretty much have. So
he runs with a purpose. Lindsay runs with a purpose. Like, he's running. I mean, it sounds kind of cliche, but like, he's running for his life. When he gets the ball, he goes one cut and go. I mean, he goes up the field. He had a couple nice runs, you know, for scores on Sunday. I really like him. I mean, he might make the Pro Bowl as a rookie. And I think there's some stat about his
undrafted. It's crazy because he's like a small schools guy, so he didn't even get like invited to the combine or anything. Like,
It's a good backstory with him too. So definitely, who are you fading, Mike, in this matchup of two teams that are probably not going to see the postseason?
Yeah, it's interesting here. The Broncos have seemingly fixed their run defense. The first half of the season, they were not good. People are gashing them on the ground, and like all of a sudden they flip the switch and no one's going to rush for over 100 yards against them. You know, last week the Bengals just got there, but that's because they just didn't pass the ball despite losing. And, you know, the Broncos were very content to allow that to happen. You know, you got Jeff Wilson coming in here probably for the Niners. Not a particularly explosive runner, and a game that they may also trail in, so you know, I'm not going to bank on Jeff Wilson's passing pass catching abilities to bail you out. So I know he's a popular waiver ad. Just be careful there with Jeff Wilson. He'd be a fade for me.
Gotcha. Sleeper for me, and I know Jason just gave everyone that stat on Lindsay, his rushing yards versus Case Keenum's passing yards, but you know, I'm going to go with Case Keenum as a sleeper in this matchup, right? San Francisco's defense, really nothing to write home about. Obviously, you know, the season hasn't panned out the way a lot of people thought. I like, you know, Courtland Sutton. I like Emmanuel Sanders to get off the snide. So yeah, I really
like Manny Sanders this week.
Yeah.
Quan Williams, their slot corner, is the weak spot in that defense.
So against that backdrop, there's going to be opportunity for Keenum to have a representative effort. You know, you temper your expectation. It is a sleeper. It's not a lock. So you're thinking, you know, in the order of 250 to 275 through the air potentially, and, you know, two scores. And so I think I would take that at a price point of, you know, 6,800. So, you know, Case Keenum, put him. Kind of to the end of your player pool, but I think you can put him in there. All right.
Yeah. A couple other notes on that game.
Yeah.
Because Chris Harris is going to be out, obviously. So I don't know who they're going to be running as their slot corner. But Trent Taylor, I'm pretty sure he's still playing pretty much all the slot work with Garcon out. But yeah, Garcon and Goodwin might be out again, so there might be some fantasy goodness on the 49ers side again in the passing game. And with what Mike said on the Broncos, over the last 5 weeks, my 5 week stats, league average is about 97 yards to running backs. Broncos have allowed 79 and zero touchdowns, so And that's the average over the last 5 weeks. So that's pretty darn good.
Yeah, they've fixed their run defense. So, all right, we'll move on to the desert for a very, 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 this is a blackout restriction game type situation. Detroit and my Lions, who are just playing out the string, are going to the desert to take on the Arizona Cardinals. The over-under is 40.5. The Lions, for whatever reason, are 2.5-point favorites in this matchup. My sleeper in this game of two backwards franchises is Ellington, Bruce Ellington. We talked about him last week. He's got a lot of target share because there's not very much else to throw the ball to anymore behind Kenny Galladay. And so I don't think you play Ellington expecting, you know, a 20-point fantasy day, even on full-point PPR sites. But if you tell me he's going to get, you know, 7 catches for 50 yards, I think you could probably pencil that in. Over the last 3 games, his target share has been, or his targets have been 9, 7, and 10. So he's seeing some work with his squad again, because it's just, it's like next man up. There's you know, there's T.J. Jones, there's Galladay, and then there's Ellington. So having seen them in person and seeing what they like to do, or what they're trying to do from an offensive standpoint, which is perplexing, and we could have a whole podcast on the woes of the Lions. Ellington's my sleeper in this matchup. Mike, who are you fading in the Detroit Arizona battle?
I think I got to fade Kenny Galladay. It sounds like Patrick Peterson's probably going to shadow him. And, you know, there's Galladay's been hit and miss all season. I'm a big fan, but on the road here, kind of limping to the finish line for your Lions. I don't have high expectations of this game in general, and you know, if Galladay doesn't catch a touchdown, it's probably a pretty fadeable day for him.
Gotcha. So Jason, can you find a lock between these two teams?
Yeah, I'm going right back to my high usage running back, David Johnson, number 2 in the league in usage. It's unfortunate that Chase Edmonds got his 5 carries and 2 touchdowns, but David Johnson was still on the field most of the game. I mean, pretty much every snap, had, 21 carries, a few receptions. I don't see Chase Edmonds. He's done that. He did that earlier this year, too, where he had a game where he just came in and vultured all David Johnson's touchdowns, and it was made me want to throw my computer screen across the room. But
I'd pay money to see that video.
He's the only running back that accounts for more offensive production for their team than David Johnson is Saquon Barkley. So he's up there with Saquon and Connor and Zeke and who am I missing? That's pretty much all of them. Yeah, Gordon is one of them.
Yeah, but, he's in the upper echelon. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, his points have been there, but a lot of it. He's basically had like a 15-point floor or a half-point PPR the whole season. He just hasn't been having those ceiling games.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, Chase Edmonds gets 2 touchdowns.
And I like his price on FanDuel at 7K. I mean, the Lions, you know, run defense has gotten a little better, but then Todd Gurley came to town and kind of, you know, messed with that.
Oh, Gurley was the other one that I was missing.
Yeah,
trying to think. Yeah, Todd Gurley, because who's that guy? He's a nobody.
Yeah, he's a nobody. That Todd Gurley guy. He's a nobody. So David Johnson, I like that play a lot. So let's move on to a game near and dear, maybe not so near and dear. We talked about this last week to one of our co-host Hart, and that is the Philadelphia Eagles, the defending champs, going to Dallas and basically do or die for these two teams fighting out for the division. The over-under is 43. The Cowboys are 3.5-point favorites. So, Mike, I know you will probably watch this one. Who are you fading from either side of the football here?
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of preached all season that you've got to be careful with the Eagles' running game. It's always a rotation. You saw Darren Sproles get the rushing touchdown last week. Josh
he
Adams
just came out of nowhere. Like, what was that about? Like,
he's finally back. Like, he's been trying to get healthy all year, and yeah. You know, they had to give him some work. And he had a nice run. You know, it was a nice run, nice blocking. Jason Kelce, their center, got out in front and you know, paved the way. So, you know, it's you just don't know who's going to score their touchdown in the backfield. Josh Adams did get leaned on there as the game was you know, going to a close. And that could happen if they get out to a lead, but going down into Dallas the way they're playing, you know, Dallas coming on, the Eagles not really playing, you know, the way they did last season. I don't think there's going to be any big leads here. This is probably kind of a slugfest and a you know, scrappy game. So I'd be careful using any Eagles running back, but you know, if you're still holding hope for your Josh Adams waiver claim, I'd be careful putting him into your lineup this week.
Yeah, that's who I had down as a fade myself. Jason, who are you locking in this one?
So this is going to be a lot like last week with the Cowboys. Are you going to give me another line for Amari Cooper?
Oh,
he hit 9.5 on the dot.
Yeah, that was I said a pretty good line, huh?
Fumble. He was over 9.5 at one point.
Yeah, I got a good chuckle when I saw that he hit 9.5.
Yeah, it's Zeke. I mean, there's just a couple of these running backs that, like, I mean, you just have to jam them in. You have to find some way. I think right now I can actually look it up what my little early FanDuel lineup is. Yeah, I have Kamara, Lindsay, and Zeke in it right now. And
that's not a bad core, and you just fill around that, yeah.
You just kind of have to jam these guys in because, I mean, the running back production is so much more predictable. I mean, and when you can get these guys that you know are going to get the 20, 25 touches every single game, and they're on offenses with, you know, good offensive lines where they're using the guys in the passing game too, it's just at home, you know, this is going to be another game like the Cowboys game from last week, real low scoring. You can almost guarantee that Zeke's going to do most of the work.
Yeah. Totally agree with that from both fade and lock. My sleeper in this one, and he had, I saw the 2-point conversion yesterday. And again, I'm a little biased because I saw him play for the last several years in Detroit. It's Golden Tate. He's less than 6K on FanDuel. You know, squeaky wheel sort of syndrome. I think there's all the talk in Philly, right, about his role in the offense and trying to figure out how to use him. I think he's starting to develop something with Carson Wentz. Alshon kind of took a little bit of a backseat, I think, last night, and so on Monday night. So I think Golden Tate against a pretty good Dallas defense. I wasn't a, you know, early part of the season, I didn't really know what I was seeing with Dallas. They have a good defense, but Golden
Very
Tate
good
is
outside corners.
Yes, but slot corner, not so much. And Golden Tate has made a whole NFL career about getting those underneath routes and working out a slot and just being a beast in that position. And so I like him as a sleeper in this matchup, especially at that price point. Let's move on. The Steelers, coming off a very perplexing Sunday night loss to the Chargers, going out to Oakland to take on the Raiders. This matchup would have been great, you know, 40 years ago. 51.5 is the over-under. The Steelers are 11.5-point favorites. Mike, who are you fading? I bet it's from the Oakland side of the ball, but who are you fading in this one?
Hey, man, I'm just trying to figure out how the Steelers are going to lose this one because it's like that's what they do every year. They manage to give away some games late in the season.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they end up having to go up to New England
yep.
to take on Jason's boys.
I mean, they win so many close games every season. They've done it all year. They're winning these you know, 2-3 point games. It's just, it's a hard way to make a living. But yeah, if I'm gonna fade anybody, it's probably gonna be Doug Martin over on the Raiders side. He has been running well, for what you pay for him. But the Steelers, despite what Justin Jackson did, I think they've got their run defense pretty figured out. If they go up on the Raiders, Martin probably yields way to Jalen Richard in the passing attack. They're bringing in C.J. Anderson apparently as well, so that may not mean that Martin's got too many days ahead here as a Raider. Give me him as a fade.
Gotcha. What about a lock, Jason, in this Pittsburgh-Oakland matchup?
I'm trying to decide whether I'm just gonna go with AB and Juju, because I can't decide which one's gonna get the 17 targets this week.
Double lock it. It's all right.
I think it's one of those passing. It's just those two guys with Connor out. Maybe the running game will be a little bit more hamstrung. Oddly enough, Pittsburgh has lost. They've only lost four games. They're 7-4-1. Most of those losses have come at home, so they've actually been doing the job away from Pittsburgh. Definitely against Oakland, I can see them. We saw Mahomes just put up another four touchdowns pretty easily. Had shots at a couple more. Big Ben is. Mahomes has 41 touchdowns, so we're not even going to touch that. But I think Ben is the yards leader or close to it for the season.
I like the double lock of AB and Juju.
Big Ben has 20 more yards on the season than Pat Mahomes.
Expect a big game for the passing game in Pittsburgh for sure. Yep. So.
I know Kelsey just went ham. So I mean, you can go Vance McDonald too, but I like the
two receivers,
the safety of those two guys.
Yep, sounds good for me there. I'm gonna take a sleeper in this one. He finds a way to get production on this putrid Oakland team. That's Jared Cook. Who else are you gonna throw to? What else are you gonna do offensively? So he's 6,300. Tight end has been a mess throughout the league this whole year. But Jared Cook, I've had him in some season-long lineups. He had a good game last week. Oakland, if they're going to have any chance to stay in the game, he's a part of the game plan. He has a rapport with probably a quarterback that's on borrowed time in Derek Carr. So give me Jared Cook as a sleeper in this one.
The only thing with Cook, though, is, like, he's had those blow-up games, like those 30-point games, basically, like he had this week. Yeah. They're just, like, that's his third one of the season or fourth one of the season, and they've all been against, like, really, really, like, kind of below average defenses, and I don't think the Steelers are quite that.
Right.
So.
Well, what about that second half against L.A.? That wasn't a representative defense in my estimation. That was a pretty poor defensive showing. I mean, the Chargers.
Yeah, but you're comparing the Chargers to Oakland. Like, just think about that.
I'm not comparing the Chargers to Oakland. I'm just saying Pittsburgh's defense maybe is not as good as we might give them credit for. The Chargers are one of the four best AFC teams, or five best AFC teams, we want to put it that way.
They're only one game behind Kansas City, so.
Yeah, I mean, they're a different offensive squad. I'm just saying, let's not make this Steelers team look like the Steel Curtain of the 70s,
saying that. I'm just saying that, those big Jared Cook games have come against pretty soft defenses.
Right.
And I don't think the Steelers are that soft of a defense.
All right. Well, we could put a board bet on it.
Why don't you guys do Cook versus Vance McDonald?
Okay, more production. Cook versus, I'll take Cook, you take McDonald. I'll take that. All right.
I'm all over that one.
Yeah,
boom.
I like McDonald a lot myself. The yeah. Raiders are a favorite tight end target to pick on.
Yeah. All right. So both of you guys, that's fine. That's fine. That's good. That's fine. We'll
I'm still waiting for my Amari Cooper line. From
yeah.
My...
19 and a half. Nice. We had the boom game, then the bust game. Now we're back to the boom game, and the Eagles secondary is a disaster.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we got the bet with Jared Cook and Vance McDonald. So all right, now I got to watch that game. Unfortunately, God. Jeez. Okay. All right, let's move on to a game that will be actually fun to watch. The LA Rams coming off clinching the NFC West, stay in this part of the country and go to Chicago to take on the Bears. The over-under is 52.5. The Rams, 4-point road dogs. A lot of road dogs in this week. Road favorites, excuse me. They're 4-point road favorites. A lot of road favorites in this week 14. For me, a sleeper, and it's a faint sleeper. It's not a Rip Van Winkle. Tariq Cohen. You know, people are going to go a lot of other ways, and he's probably kind of more closer to lock than sleeper if you're talking about just a showdown slate. But if I'm looking at the full Thursday through Monday slate, for those that still play that, Cohen is probably on your bottom list of runners. But he's a talented player. They're figuring out how to use him, get him in space. They did some things against the Giants with him. He's to me supplanted Jordan Howard out of the backfield there. So Cohen is the guy I'm looking at as a sleeper in the LA Chicago matchup. Jason Locke, who you got?
Is Trubisky going to be back for this game?
I would imagine he's got to be. I know he's. Yeah, I mean, I know he's still questionable. The shoulder, I believe. Yeah. The shoulder. But I gotta imagine he's got, you know, it's Sunday night, so he got flexed to later in the day. I gotta imagine he's probably gonna play.
Yeah, if Trubisky's going, it's kind of a toss up between him and Gurley. I don't know. I don't like the matchup with Gurley, but his, like I said with those other guys, like the usage is just out of the world. I mean, even if he has a floor game, you're still talking about like 15 points. But Trubisky, if he's, you know, good to go, and we should know by time, you know, this is a guy that the Nagy offense, like, he's thriving in it. Second in the league in rushing behind Cam Newton for most of the year. Lamar Miller and Josh Allen might overtake those guys in the last 4 weeks here, but yeah, you know, he's kind of a do it everything quarterback, and he's got a lot of weapons around him. And if the Rams can score against the Bears defense, which I'm not too sure about that. But yeah, I like this for Trubisky, because the Rams secondary has not been good all year pretty much. So
I would agree.
You add that on top of his rushing floor, and it's a recipe for success.
Gotcha. What about a fade here, Mike?
You know, I would much prefer Gurley as the lock to Trubisky. Trubisky's is almost a fade for me, because he's coming back from the injury. The Rams defense got Aqib Talib back, and you know they had trouble with the Giants this weekend. I mean, you can't struggle with the Giants and be a good NFL team, you know.
Trubisky wasn't throwing the ball in that. I mean, that was a lot of like turnovers and stuff where
Special
teams, fields, you know,
weird stuff. But you know, just that game was competitive, like as a team concept for the Bears, like that worries me. The Rams, you know, they're a cohesive unit. They are good on both sides of the ball. They've got innovative coaching. I think the Bears could be in trouble on this one, and I actually think Trubisky could have like a little bit of a meltdown game if he's forced to you know, press the ball downfield, where he's had his success has been kind of getting out in front and being able to execute the offense the way they want to. So, yeah, I'll go Trubisky as a fade to your lock.
I smell another boar bet. I mean, I think let's set the over-under production. We'll do FanDuel because a lot of our fans and users FanDuel. Let's go 17 FanDuel points.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I'll take the under.
Yeah, I'm fine with that too. All
right,
that's like real. I think that's like real close to where I have them projected at. So
very good. All right, so a lot of fun action here in these later games. All right, we'll round out the slate in the Pacific Northwest. The Seattle Seahawks are going to take on the Minnesota Vikings. The over-under is 45. The Seahawks, and they're starting to get things figured out, are three-point favorites at home. Mike, who are you fading?
This is an interesting one. It could be a little bit of a wet game. It's in Seattle. It's a tough place to play. The Seahawks are coming on for sure down the stretch here. The Vikings do have a good defense, though.
But do they? That's the question, right? Do they really? I mean,
they're not a great defense.
I think last year, yes, they were a great defense. Yeah. This year, I think it's reputational, and you know, like guy like Xavier Rhodes is kind of had a bit of a down year. Yeah. So
they've definitely struggled at times. I mean, I sat him this week for Miami my league.
Yeah,
which, you know, if you told me that preseason, I would have said you're crazy.
You said you had too many. Too many yanglings before before that.
But as far as a fade, I think Kirk Cousins is fadeable here. He really let me down last week, so that could just be the disappointment talking. But going on the road here against a defense that gets aggressive, that gets in the quarterback's face, they tend to disrupt timing routes. They're very physical secondary still. You know, that kind of gives me some concern for the Minnesota passing game. Cousins may suffer because of it.
All right. And I'm not even going to get too upset, even though he's my guy. I'm not going to get too upset because I think I'm with you. I had him down as my fader this week in that matchup. Jason, you should be able to find a lock from this one, huh?
Yeah, I'm trying to – I probably shouldn't go Nick Bennett. That was like one of my week one locks, right?
That was a week one. Yeah. We played the tape
all
back.
Over Nick Bennett week one.
You were all over this. Nick Bennett.
Yeah. And then what's his face? That Dave, whatever. I can't remember
David
his
Moore?
Name.
Moore? The receiver, David Moore?
No. Yeah,
what was their other tight end that got hurt.
Will Disley. I just say whenever I can't remember somebody's name and they're just Dave.
business. Hey, Dave, come over here.
Russell Wilson at home. He's just been too efficient. I really don't have anything to say about him. He's a second half guy. He's not really rushing the ball. He's just putting the ball in the back of the end zone. The team's running very efficiently, run heavy. Whenever Russ throws, it's pay dirt throws. So,
yeah, I mean, definitely the guy you want in the captain spot on the showdown. He's going to control touchdowns.
Yeah.
Yep. All goes to Russ, and I will eat a little bit of crow because I didn't see him having this sort of season, and he's played pretty well. Like you mentioned, that efficiency is crazy. I think one point in Sunday's matchup, he had, you know, he was like 4 for 4 or maybe 4 for 5 for like 104 yards, like 3 touchdowns. I mean, it was just crazy nuts. Like they know what they want to do now offensively, and he's the trigger man. And, you know, again, a lot of those big name defensive players gone by the wayside. It's Russ's team, and Seattle's going to kind of ride him, you know, with mixing in all the three runners they have there. So I definitely co-signed that lock. I really like that as a lock in this matchup. And for me, my sleeper, probably in part, you know, kind of where Mike was with Cousins and the passing game for Minnesota. I still think, you know, there's a chance to move the ball. And I think they do that on the ground. I think that's with Dalvin Cook. I think he's finally healthy after battling injuries through the middle part of the season. His price is $6,200 on FanDuel in the Thursday and Monday slate. I don't know if they've got the showdown slate posted just as yet, but I like putting him in as the Minnesota side of the ball. I don't necessarily like the Minnesota pass catchers in this one, and so for me, Dalvin Cook, you know, he's probably in line for 15 to 16 carries. I like him to get, you know, maybe in the end zone in this matchup. So he's my sleeper on the Monday night matchup. Anything else for the big slate, big 16 game slate? Anything else on that Monday night affair?
Nope.
All right. So as we are wont to do, we'll give you a fade of the week, lock of the week, and a sleeper of the week. So I will start with Mike. Who is your fade of the week?
I'm going to go with Tyler Boyd. He kind of seems like a trap to me with A.J. Green being out. People might be chasing that, and I don't think they're going to throw the ball very much in Cincinnati rest of the season.
Yeah. All right. Jason, your lock of the week.
I'm trying to decide which one of my stud running backs I want to make my number one.
Yeah, you can only pick one, and sometimes we let you pick two, but you got one.
I think it's just gonna be Saquon. I think his matchup is probably the best. It's probably the lowest total. People might be off of him a little bit with the other guys like Kamara. I think is cheaper than he is, right. Stuff like that. I'll make Saquon my lock. His opportunity is just ridiculous for his price, and he'll probably go overlooked.
Yep, gotcha. My sleeper of the week, shout out to upstate New York. Let's go Zay Jones. Zay Jones is the sleeper of the week. Because why not, right? Because why not with the Bills? Nobody circles a wagon like the Buffalo Bills, so he's going to be my sleeper of the week. You know, in a game that will be definitely overlooked with only a 38.5 over or under. So, gentlemen, anything else for Week 14? We're 14 weeks into this.
Pat Mahomes only needs 4 touchdowns a game to break Peyton Manning's touchdown record.
Can he do it?
And that's his pace.
Yeah. 4 touchdowns a game. So he's at 41 touchdowns. So in his first year as an NFL starter, he could break Peyton Manning's record.
It's pretty amazing. Bonkers.
Just think about that.
It blows the mind. Anything from you, Mike?
Yeah, just don't get too cute again this week. You know, there's a lot of ugly matchups. There's no clear-cut. There's not that many clear-cut spots that are smash spots. So just, you know, stick to your process and you know, use good plays. Don't get cute again.
Exactly. Play
don't
good players.
Don't run a lineup with Jalen Samuels, Spencer Ware, and Justin Jackson is what he's saying.
Right. To try to be contrarian, right? Take down the Millie Maker. I'm going to take down the Millie Maker with all
these. I'm not saying, like, don't use any of those guys, but don't run a lineup with just those three guys as your running backs.
Very good.
I probably will.
Do as I say, not as I do. All right, gentlemen. As always, it's been a lot of fun taping this episode for folks. If you need to get at us, as we mentioned last week, make sure you add us in the Slack. I'm at Spartanzilla. Mike is at Roto_Juan. And on Slack, Jason, you are at YoYoMao, right?
Yep.
So get at us in the Slack chat. We're always there to talk pretty much all hours of the day, actually. So, and again, for patreon.com/lightuplogic, $10 a month, get you access to that Slack channel. You can find all of us on Twitter as well, and you know our handles by now. For Jason and Mike, this is Quafo signing off for Week 14. Enjoy the action. So, all right, gentlemen, thank you very much.
Have a good night, guys.
Take it easy, guys.
Later.